Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Doing good, doing good. Wow. It's nice and chipper this morning.
Man.
Wow. Good morning. Hello. Hello, Chris. Good to see you.
I'm speechless. Welcome. I don't know what to say to that.
All of our VFN Radio listeners this morning, I do want to give a shout out to Nagina. My goodness, so encouraging. There's something about encouragement, you know what I mean? I love to be encouraged and to give encouragement. Mitchell, my goodness, Pastor Cindy, Pastor Steve in Pittsburgh. Oh, it's so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to connect with everyone today. We have an exciting program for you today. And we're just delighted to be here. We're delighted to have this opportunity to be able to encourage, to inspire, and just to be with you. You know, we need as many encouraging voices today in the land, and those that will stir us up for the things of God. Because God is truly amazing. Yes, guys, I don't know if you heard this, but Reverend Billy Graham, mm-hmm. I just found this out. Let me just share this with you. I just kind of got this information here. I'm going to read it to you. Reverend Billy Graham, this is a story that someone was sharing, and I thought this was so important. I just wanted to share with you. But Reverend Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after speaking at an engagement when his plane arrived, and there was a limousine there to transport him to his home. And as he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver. He said, you know, I'm 87 years old, and I have never driven a limousine.
This recent? With,
I don't know how recent it was.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's in his 90s.
I was going to say, yeah.
This is an older story.
Okay, okay.
He says, would you mind if I drive it for a while? So the driver said, no problem. Have at it. So Reverend Billy Graham gets into the driver's seat and they head, you know, off down the highway. And a short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap.
Oh, no.
So the long black limo went by doing 70 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone.
Uh-oh.
So the trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo and then got out of his patrol car to begin the procedure. And the young trooper walked up to the driver's door. And when the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving.
I bet.
He immediately excused himself and went back to his car and called his supervisor. Like, I know that we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know, what should I do, because I have stopped a very important person. So the supervisor asked, well, is it the governor? And the young trooper said, no, he's more important than that. So the supervisor said, oh, so it's the president. So the young trooper said, no, he's even more important than that.
Oh,
so
wow.
After a moment, the supervisor finally asked, well, then who is it? The young trooper said, I think it's Jesus. I think it's Jesus because he got Billy Graham as a chauffeur.
Oh my goodness.
That is
hey. That was natural deduction of reasoning there.
It had to be.
Oh my goodness. Well, I thought I'd share that with you this morning and encourage you. I saw recently, and we are gonna make this available for you on The Torch. And I want to encourage you. You can go to The Torch at VFNTV.com and select The Torch. And oftentimes when you go to The Torch, you're just not going to get the highlight of the program, but you're also going to get extra videos and things that you can see and related content and articles that allows you really to go deeper and allows us to share more things that we just don't really have time to share on the program. We have so much to cover. But I'm going to provide this for you. We're going to make sure it's available. We're going to make sure it's available. But I saw one of the most insane things I've ever seen, and I thought I've saw a lot of crazy things before.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's pretty up there. There's this group of young men. So that alone tells you right there.
Right. Their brain cells have not fully developed.
It's amazing what young men can do together, you know? It's amazing. But they went to this place they called the Tundra. It's an undisclosed location that they're not letting anyone know. And they decided to film, I'm going to have this available for you, a 400-foot free fall swing, a pendulum rope swing through a canyon.
Oh, wow.
It is either the most horrifying thing you can look at or saying, if you have the nerve, I'd love to do that. You know, it's amazing. They previously did the world's largest rope swing, and this is looks like it's in Arizona because it just looks absolutely gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. And this whole video has this guy shooting a crossbow across the canyon. And they have what looks like simple rope, like climbing rope. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. man, you need like a rope of steel or something.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just like simple rope. And you should see this no parachute, no nothing. And they're just, swinging. They have all this amazing video coverage. In fact, they had these drone helicopters. I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of these helicopters and these planes, remote control things out more and more and more. But that's how they got some of the aerial shots looking down.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine free falling 400 feet and trusting on a rope?
They're swinging across a canyon?
A canyon.
What's the rope attached to?
Well, another side of the canyon. Like there's a valley, I guess, in the middle of it. So it's the other side of the canyon.
It's attached to the other side.
Yeah, they show a guy in the video actually shooting with a bow and arrow, the rope across. And there's several videos on this site that we're going to share with you. And you can see they actually have like a behind the scenes. So it looks like the first video said, oh, they're so brave. But the behind the scenes, they're like terrified.
Oh, yeah.
One guy says, I told my mom I wouldn't get close to the edge. I told my parents I wouldn't get close to the edge.
And yeah, they lied.
It's just unreal. I don't recommend this personally.
Yes.
I personally don't recommend this, but I do recommend putting yourself in circumstances, situations that allows you to be challenged and get past some fear. You know, if you're struggling with fear, you just got to get past certain things. And I love what courage is all about. Courage is action, in spite of fear, in spite of the things that are trying to press against you. And let me tell you, so many people are paralyzed today because of fear. I mean, they won't drive on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do certain things. They won't go out at night. They will. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen, and fear is crippling. It really, really is. And you got to get set free so that you really, truly can begin to live life the way God has designed for you to live, a faith-filled life, because fear is just the opposite of faith.
That's right.
And it's just wonderful to kind of get past that. I know you did like a free jump fall one time or something off of a platform.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
it's a 40-foot like telephone pole. It's probably bigger around as, I don't know, 8 or 10 inches. And you had to crawl up this thing. Of course, you're tethered, with a rope, but still, it's you don't feel it as you're walking up it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to stand on top of this 40-foot pole that's rocking back and forth in the wind.
Oh my.
And then you got to jump as high as you can across probably, I think, 8 or 10 feet to get to this trapeze.
Wow.
Wow. while trusting that this rope and this guy down there at the bottom is actually going to hold you and you don't fall to your death. 40 feet, that don't sound like a lot, but when you're standing up there looking down.
Oh, dude, 40 feet is
it
high.
Is high.
40 feet is
it
high.
It is high. It's up there.
So did you catch the trapeze?
I did not make it. I plummeted to my death. I jumped out and missed it, and the dude caught me. I did jump off, and it was freaky.
Yeah.
Like, this is just to your rash, you know, your logical mind. This is stupid. But you just got to believe the rope's going to hold. The dude's just not going to let go of it. And if I die, I die. you know what I'm saying?
But isn't that amazing, though, that you could have all these things? I remember when I was doing this mountain adventure or mountain tree, I think they call it, the tree adventure, treetop adventure with one of my sons. And we got up as high as 60 feet. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Am I really doing this to my son? Am I putting my son on? I'm like, this is horrible. I was just so proud of him. He was 12 at the time, and he did it. But you're 60 feet, and you're basically trusting that you attached everything on correctly, and you put, all the things you're going through. But it's just remarkable just to get past those things that are pressing against you and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let fear dictate. And let me tell you, trusting God is a lot like that. Sometimes, you just got to step on out. You got to go for it. You got to say, this is what the Lord has said. I'm just going to do it. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And don't welcome fear as your friend. Fear is your enemy.
Right.
Sometimes people will welcome fear. Like, it's a pal. It's a buddy. He's not your friend. Mm-mm.
Send him on his way.
Yeah. Pack up his bags and tell him to go. You know what I mean? And allow the faith of God to fill you and carry you and take you to the next dimension, the next level. And there's a level of freedom that's wonderful. It's what cutting on the edge, living on for the Lord is all about. It's about saying, you know what? Let's do it, God. Let's just do it. And every single day is a faith-filled adventure and not this gnawing, anxious knots in my stomach over every single thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just go for it. Let's do it.
Good.
I do want to share with you, we could take a break here shortly, but before we return from our break, we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. We're going to be sharing some statistics and some information with you that we really think is going to be encouraging, because we have a lot of people right now, a lot of politicians that are really wanting to push more stricter gun laws on American citizens and really restricting coming against your Second Amendment right. And there's an understanding, or not an understanding, but really, a belief system out there by a few that believe that by having stricter gun laws, somehow we're going to curb violence, and this is just going to stop because the bad guys are not going to be able to get guns.
Right.
Well, we're going to share some interesting stats that will shed light on that idea. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
What's so amazing about abiding It's not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
Listen. I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion may put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time, Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we are here in the first hour, and we want to talk about with you Second Amendment. We want to talk about guns and gun control, and we want to talk about, does this really work? I mean, does this really, really work? And so you're seeing a lot of politicians, you're seeing this administration is really trying to push gun controls very hard. Vice President Joe Biden is crisscrossing the country, and I believe the president as well, really trying to make a strong push to get as much gun control as possible. Senator Feinstein is putting together a bill, and you're seeing a lot of Americans, you know, Americans are kind of split on this issue, but you get a lot of people that are saying, listen, you know, these are our Second Amendment rights. And they should not be trampled on, and the government has no right to infringe upon my right.
That's right.
And the Second Amendment right is the right to bear arms. It's a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is in our founding document, and we're going to talk about this some more. But recently, there is a organization. It's called the Brady Campaign, and it's basically a group that is allegedly really trying to push stringent gun laws. And they basically came up with a scoring system where they basically score each state, okay, on a variety of topics. Things like state license requirements and background checks on all purchases. And they basically give these states a score as opposed, you know, rating them as which of these states in the country have the strictest gun laws, mm-hmm. And procedures, and which of the states are the least. We would say, or you could say, best and worst states for the Second Amendment, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, at the top of the list, I'll tell you some of the states. We'll talk about some of these states who have the toughest and the strictest gun laws, but at the very top is the state of, what would you guess?
New York.
California.
That was my second guess. Yep.
Yep, California. Don't worry, New York is close. Mm-hmm. California scored an 81. An 81. Who would you say was the number two? Would you guess? Would you know?
New York, New Jersey.
Yep, New Jersey, actually. Yeah. New Jersey, 72.
Wow.
72. New York scored a 62. Massachusetts, 65. And Connecticut, 58. And Hawaii, 50. So you're looking at New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and California with some of the strictest mm-hmm. gun laws in the United States. Now, this score that this group, the Brady Group, put out is from 0 to 100. So they actually didn't give anyone a 100 yet. I don't know what would constitute a 100,
right.
But they have not given any state a 100. Pretty interesting. And there's some out there that probably wouldn't be completely happy unless there would be no guns out there at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, not for law-abiding citizens.
Yeah. Well, when you look at it, some of the best states now, or what you would say for gun owners and those that would support the Second Amendment, Arizona actually scored 0. Alaska scored 0. Utah scored 0. Now, rounding up to the top 10, you're looking at states like North Dakota that had a 2. Oklahoma scored a 2. Mm-hmm. Florida. Florida scored a 3.
Oh, wow.
Wisconsin, 3. Texas, 4. And Wyoming and Mississippi, 4. And so those were the top 10 according to this organization. And the thing about it is that you're seeing you know, so many of these laws right now changing in so many different places. I mean, New York just passed recent gun laws, and a lot of people are concerned about, you know, what do I do now? I'm an avid hunter. I live on border states. I travel. You're going to need to be informed right now more than ever on what are the laws, you know, pertaining to each state as you travel, because especially even with concealed weapons license and stuff like that, not every state reciprocates what the other states, you know, they don't necessarily match. Mm-hmm. Just because Florida says you can do it, you have a license, doesn't mean that you come to New York with a concealed weapons license. Some right. states, if you have a concealed weapons license in one state, they'll allow you to you know, bring your gun in that particular state. Mm-hmm. So very, 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 very important to know this. And so stricter gun laws. And this has been like such a hot debate. It's been on talk shows. It's been on all kinds of people talking about this. And it needs to be discussed. It needs to be discussed. And most recently, because we've had the horrific, horrific shootings that have occurred at some of the places. I don't remember them all, but I definitely, you know, remember Newtown, Connecticut, and the Aurora shooting. And my goodness, the Columbine almost 13, 14 years ago, that occurred. And all these different... These were massacres. These were you know, isolated incidents, and you know, we feel bad for those of the victims that lost their life. It's just absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. But you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And there is a group out. There's an organization it's a nonprofit actually organization called Just the Facts. Just the Facts, and they've come together to put out some research regarding laws and statistics regarding gun control. And we're going to look at them. We're going to look at them. In fact, their mission, which is really cool, the mission is of Just the Facts is to research and publish verifiable facts about the leading public policy issues of our time, and to accomplish this with impartiality and excellence, and we use standards of credibility to determine what constitutes credible facts and what does not. So they're a nonprofit group, and they're committed now. Listen to this. They're committed to accuracy, and exhaustive documentation has resulted in citations and links from universities, nonprofit organizations, radio programs, newspapers, and government entities at local and state and national levels. And their visitors see this as a unique resource. They have their visitors number in the millions to their website. And this is going to be available for you on the Torch. But on their website, because they download, I mean, a ton of facts, a ton of statistics. And what they say is that, and I love this is their guarantee of integrity. Just the Facts is passionate about finding the truth and making it known, which is why we developed the standards of credibility to ensure that our research meets exacting standards of integrity. If, however, you should find an error in our research or feel that we missed a critical fact that alters the implications of any matter we have addressed, please contact us and we promise to make it right. Not bad.
Can't beat that.
Not bad. You really can't beat that. But what they do, and we're just going to talk about some of these statistics and kind of shed light, because, you know, the one proponents for gun laws would want us all to think that if we can make guns more difficult for bad guys to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to stop all of these violent crimes. And they cite the U.S. Department of Justice that roughly 5,340,000 violent crimes were committed in the United States in 2008. It's actually horrible. 5,340,000 crimes. These include simple aggravated assaults, robberies, sexual assaults, rapes, and murders, based upon what this organization is sharing. Mm-hmm. And of these,
mm-hmm.
of these 5,340,000 violent crimes, of these, about 436,000 were committed by offenders visibly armed with a gun. That's 8%. Wow. 8%. Wow. Not even a million out of the 5 million, over 5 million violent crimes, only 8% of those crimes were actually committed with a visible handgun. Okay? This is from the information from the U.S. Department of Justice. And
is this
what they
just say, a handgun or any type of handgun or of gun?
They say armed with a gun. Correct. There are different types of guns,
okay,
and which they do kind of break down, because you hear of all these different things about what's a semi-automatic and what's an automatic. You know, firearms are generally classified into three broad types: handguns, rifles, and shotguns. You know, rifles and shotguns are both considered long guns.
Mm-hmm.
And a semi-automatic firearm fires one bullet each time the trigger is pulled, and ejects the shell of a fired bullet and automatically loads another bullet for the next pull of the trigger. A fully automatic firearm, sometimes called a machine gun, fires multiple bullets with a single pull of the trigger. Okay, so this kind of information that they share background, because a lot of people don't know. They're hearing semi-automatic, automatic, you know, what is this? What are they trying to ban?
Mm-hmm.
Based on a survey data from 2000, all right, this was published in the Journal of Quantitative Criminology, civilians use guns to defend themselves and others from crime at least 989,000. 883 times per year.
Oh, wow.
This is where a civilian who had lawfully was able to have a firearm, right? Mm-hmm. They defended themselves or others of a crime. If they didn't have a handgun present, that means we would be talking about 989,833 victims per year.
Wow. Almost a million.
Almost a million.
Wow.
Almost a million. This is important. In 1994, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention found that Americans use guns to frighten away intruders who were breaking into their homes about 498,000 times per year. So it's 500,000 people were able to, mm-hmm. to scare off an intruder because maybe they saw a gun was visible and they said, we're getting out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
So they did another study in 1982, and they surveyed male felons. Listen to this. They went into a prison. They surveyed male felons in 11 state prisons, okay? 11 state prisons all across the country. And this is what they found out. This is a survey now. This is what mm-hmm. they found out of convicted male felons in prison, not in jail, prisons.
Mm-hmm.
These are serving time.
Right.
More than 2 years for sure. 34% had been scared off, shot at, wounded, or captured by an armed victim. 34%. Listen to that. Had been scared off, shot at, wounded, or captured by an armed victim. Someone who a citizen who had, you know, was armed with some sort of gun.
Mm-hmm.
40% had decided not to commit a crime because they knew or believed that the victim was carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm.
40%.
Wow.
40%. And you think about that, I mean, you know, you look at a state like Florida that really is supports the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And your constitutional rights. I mean, during many of the hurricanes, I mean, you could tell that there were people that they understood. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That there could be a gun inside of that home. I'm not really going to press this. You know, I don't even remember when I lived in Florida. I don't even remember hearing of that. You know, that much of incidences. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was an awareness that people understood that, hey, you know, people are armed.
Right.
You know, people are armed. 69% in the same survey personally knew other criminals who had been scared off, shot at, or wounded or captured by an armed victim. These are felons telling, reporting, saying, look, we know, you know, we've had occurrences with armed civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, really important to take a look at because you want to look at the data. You want to look at just the facts, you know, just because someone's on TV or on any program and just listing a bunch of stuff is like, let's look at some information. Let's look at some raw data and let's see, you know, how this all shakes out. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, the data is sharing with us that, you know what, people are being protected. People are being protected. And, you know, no one has the right. No one has the right to try to influence and take away anyone's gun from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, you have a constitutional right. Now, obviously people did that. You know, you can have background checks and, you know, those things are there's wisdom involved in all of that. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly, right? But right. we don't want to look at restricting gun laws. You look at a state like, or you look at a place like Washington, D.C., because it's not like they have not tried this already. You
right.
know what I mean? Washington, D.C., in 1976, the council passed, the Washington, D.C. Council passed a law generally prohibiting residents from possessing handguns. And this is all this information I'm reading to you is from Just the Facts. And we're going to make this available for you, justthefacts.com, gun control. And they're talking about how Washington, D.C. in 1976 passed a law prohibiting residents from possessing handguns and requiring that all firearms in private homes be kept, one, unloaded, and rendered temporarily inoperable via disassembly or installation of a trigger lock. So it was, it's, you have an unarmed, you have an unloaded
gun. You basically have a club. It's useless.
What's the point?
You can throw the paperweight at them.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
you can throw it at them. And the law became operative, they say, in September 24th, 1976. Now, on June 26, 2008, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, a 5-4 ruling, struck down the law as unconstitutional in 2008. Mm-hmm. So you look at from 1976 to 2008, they had an unconstitutional law on the books,
mm-hmm,
that those who lived in Washington, D.C. had their rights taken away.
Wow.
And let's say, like, let's, did it even work? There's a graph that you'll be able to see, and we'll have this available for you on the torch. And the graph shows murder rates in Washington, D.C. compared to the murder rates of the United States. It is it's just staggering. But when you look at, I'm looking at the graph now, and it's not even double. It, in some cases, it's 3-4, maybe even 6-7 times. At the lowest, 3-4 times the homicide rate, mm-hmm, of the United States. And in some cases, almost 6-7, I would even dare say 8 times. You look at the graph for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
More. Well, they have the strict gun laws now.
Right.
Strict gun laws. And that did not help. But when you have you say that you can have a gun that can't be loaded in your home, right? And it has to have a lock. You tell me. And even with all of that, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What? Because they're telling us that we need to get behind our congressmen, and we need to go for these gun laws because we need to be protected. If we get these guns off the streets, this is going to happen. Well, did it work? I mean, the data is saying no.
Right.
And this is in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Well, let's look at Chicago, the president's hometown, right?
Right.
Chicago. Well, in 1982, the city of Chicago instituted a ban on handguns. Now, this ban barred civilians from possessing handguns except for those registered with the city government prior to the enactment of the law. Now, the law also specified that such handguns had to be re-registered every 2 years, or owners should forfeit their right to possess them. So not only do you have to register your gun, okay? Some states don't require you to register your gun, but you had to register so they'll know that you have a gun. But every 2 years, you had to re-register that you, wow, had one. You talk about invasion of privacy.
I know, right?
Right? And this occurred every 2 years. Well, this happened back in 1982. Well, in 1994, they actually amended the law. They amended that law.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think maybe they took it away, you know, not every 2 years. No, they amended the law so that now it required you to register the your firearm annually, every year. Okay, now this is Chicago.
Right.
Chi-town, right?
Right, right.
In the wake of Chicago's handgun ban, right, the website justthefacts.com is reporting that at least 5 suburbs surrounding Chicago instituted a similar handgun ban.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the Supreme Court overturned the District of Columbia's handgun ban in June 2008, at least 4 other areas repealed their bans. It's like they all follow suit. It's like a chain of domino. And then in June of 2010, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that Chicago's ban is unconstitutional. I mean, let's get a pulse. Let's really take a look at all of this. Let's get real. And, you know, you're tired of the American people being manipulated by fear tactics. And we're talking about fear. You know, fear will cause you to give up all your rights.
Right.
You know, it's caused you to give up all your rights.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just look at the facts. We have a constitution that was given to us. And you know what? People are talking about this everywhere. It happened to me in Barnes & Noble this week. And I just overheard this couple, a man and a woman, mm-hmm. and they were just having this whole conversation on the Constitution, and they were just so engaged, and you know, I had to stop by and just introduce myself, you know.
Oh, really?
And they were just so, yeah, but you know, it's encouraging when people are just vocal and they're getting involved and they know, and we got the chance to talk, and they were really excited about saying, you know, we need this. This was an older couple, and he says, "Listen, you know, I've never seen this in all my life. What's happening?" And it's and they were encouraged that younger people are really starting to stand for the Constitution. Mm-hmm. When we get back, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about what happened in Great Britain.
Oh wow!
And this is where our country's headed. And let's take a look. Unless we say no, we're going to stand for our rights. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important. But then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us in the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father. Mm-hmm. And he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, mm-hmm. and you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk and. We've always had a great time, mm-hmm. but anyway, they're listening. They're listening to VFN TV mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program. Watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store mm-hmm. and downloaded the application because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and daily VFN radio program, Facebook. You can get to our, the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are, you know, sowing into this ministry and giving that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about here in the first hour this push that we've been seeing from this administration on gun control laws that they're trying to pass. We're trying to see that Senator Feinstein is putting up with a bill to try to restrict guns. And, you know, in all fairness, you know, disclosure here, you know, they're not trying to restrict all guns, certain guns. But, you know, even the vice president was doing some sort of a internet call where he just kind of video chat type of thing where he was taking in questions. And someone had some sort of a question about guns and what should they get and how should they protect themselves. And so the vice president, Joe Biden, says you should get your shotgun. Telling a woman, get you a shotgun and fire off two shots. And that will warn anyone, basically. And I'm paraphrasing him. That's not a direct quote, but he did say, get you a shotgun and fire two shots. And he says, in fact, they're easier to shoot than an AR-15. They're easier and they're safer. Well, someone created, you know, they used their creativity skills and put a video together of about 15 or 20 women shooting a shotgun. And, I mean, you should see their arms are just flipping off of them. I mean, have you seen someone shoot a shotgun or you seen a video shooting a shotgun? They have some tremendous kick on the back
That's
end.
A lot of power.
If you're not, yeah, and if you're just using different grips, I mean, you can literally snap your wrist. It's that much kick. And, I mean, video after video after video is like a kind of quick repeat thing. Had these women just shooting these shotguns, they were dropping them. Their hands were hurting. They were flipping back. Most of the videos had them dropping, and then the last video had this young person, you know, just doing some target shooting with an AR-15, just with ease shooting. It's like, I don't think so, type of thing. You know what I mean? They're not that easy. Just to go and pick up one and just shoot one. You know what I mean?
Right.
They are more challenging. When we talked about how some of the facts, and I really like this organization. Please, you know, look at it and look at their guarantee of integrity that they put on their website and some of how they feel about the information that they're sharing. I mean, they're saying quite openly that they use very stringent and detailed footnotes. And if you, however, feel that you find an error in their research, they ask you, please feel free to let us know if we've missed any critical fact that alters the implications of any matter that they've addressed, and to contact them and they'll make whatever effort they can to make it right. They say that we strive for continuous improvement and thus encourage rigorous critique. Not bad. Not bad. So we looked at some of the strict gun laws that were passed in Washington, D.C. We looked at some of the strict gun laws that were passed in Chicago. And you can see these graphs that will be available for you on the torch and see that it just didn't work. It just didn't work. This has been tried. And we're going to talk about some recent law, or not recent, but laws that were passed in Britain. They were passed in Britain in 1920. This site shares. Chris, listen to this. In 1920, Britain passed a law requiring civilians to obtain a certificate from the district police chief in order to purchase or possess any firearm except a shotgun. So they were required to get this certificate from the chief of police.
Right.
Now, what if the chief police didn't like you or whatever? Then maybe they have one. Now, they don't have the U.S. Constitution in Great Britain, okay? So don't, so this is a different country, mm-hmm. different laws. And they continue to say that to obtain this certificate, the applicant had to pay a fee, one, and the chief police had to be, quote-unquote, satisfied that the applicant had a good reason for requiring such a certificate. This was in the 1920s, mm-hmm. and did not pose a danger to the public safety or to the peace. This is all dependent on what this chief of police felt like, hey, yes, no, whatever. The certificate had to specify the types and the quantities of firearms and the ammunition that the applicant would purchase and keep. This was in the 1920s.
Uh-huh.
Well, in 1968, we're talking about Britain, Great Britain, they made the 1920 law even more stricter. More stricter than going right. to the police chief, more stricter than putting on the application your quote-unquote good reason, more stricter than the chief's of police's personal evaluation, whether you were a danger to the public society and to the peace. They made it more stricter, and they did this by requiring that civilians obtain a certificate from the district police to purchase and possess a shotgun. So it's not just a firearm, it's also a shotgun. Now, this law also required that firearms certificates specify that they specify indication numbers if known, and they wanted just basically all the information. Well, in 1997, now we're talking about, you know, some years later, this started in 1920, 1968, they made it more stricter. Now we're fast forwarding to 1997, mm-hmm. and Britain passed a law requiring, listen to this, requiring a law that civilians to surrender almost all privately owned handguns to the police.
Oh my goodness.
Some believe that these restrictions that they're trying to place on U.S. citizens for the Constitution are going to lead to this very same thing, that they're just going to become more stringent, just like happened in other countries. It'll become less stringent. They become more stringent, to the point that everyone's going to either have to register all their guns, that the government should know who has and who doesn't have, mm-hmm. why, and to the point of maybe even confiscating or having them brought in, just like Great Britain did, not in 1920, but in 1997.
Mm.
They passed a law requiring the civilians to surrender almost all privately owned handguns to the police, more than 162,000 handguns, and 1.5 million pounds of ammunition were compulsorily surrendered by February 1998, okay? And they accounted for most of the ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not counting, let me say this. They have a chart, and we're going to make this available, of the homicide rate in England. You got to see this. The homicide rate in England and in Wales has averaged 52% higher.
Oh my goodness.
Since the outset of 1968 gun control laws, and 15% higher since the outset of the 1997 gun ban. They banned and confiscated these guns, and they still had a 15% increase in the homicide rate.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, these are just simply the facts. These are simply the facts. And we're going to make all these available for you here on the VFN Torch, and you can look at all the footnotes, and you can get as deep and qualified. But this is from just a nonprofit organization called Just the Facts, and their website is justthefacts.com/gun control. But you need to know what the facts are. You need to know what the laws are. You need to know that you have a Second Amendment right, and you need to do your own research and be informed. You know, we have a right as citizens to bear arms, and we have a Fourth Amendment right to privacy. Mm-hmm. What was done in Westchester, New York, where a publisher, a newspaper, published the names and addresses, Pat and Chris, the names and addresses of law-abiding citizens that had guns. I mean, you're putting people's lives in danger, not only infringing on their privacy. Mm-hmm. It's going to take informed U.S. citizens that are not going to bury their head in the sand and that are not going to listen to all kinds of hype and emotional tugs and pulls and manipulations to say, you know what? We're going to stand for our rights. We're going to stand for what is true. When we come back in the extra hour, and I hope you join us in the extra hour, we're going to be talking about trusted wounds. Trusted wounds. We're going to be talking about back to basics for the church. And, of course, we're going to share the Torch top three.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.